Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning with verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am a youth. For you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise, and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city, and an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. On this very day, 19 years ago, I was 34 years old, and employed by Borders Books and Music as a regional human resources manager. I was responsible for personnel decisions across a region of 125 stores, which spanned from New Jersey to Florida. At 34, I had already been employed by that company, which included Walden Books, for 16 years, having started with them at the age of 18. In a part-time capacity in the store at Capital City Mall in Camp Hill. I worked hard and with enormous devotion to the organization, and from that position I climbed a corporate ladder that led me to manage stores in Lebanon, Sealands Grove, Lancaster, and Harrisburg, and then to regional management of stores in central Pennsylvania, Maryland, and West Virginia, and then to a larger region in New England, and then to an even larger region that covered from Metro New York City all the way to Metro Boston and beyond. Successful in this role, I was invited to interview for a position that was responsible for store operations over a quarter of the country. And I came in number two. Not deterred, I applied for the same position in a different part of the country, at which point I was told by a company executive that they weren't interested, not just at that time, but ever. While my career path in store operations had reached its ceiling, my drive to climb the ladder had not been quenched. So I moved out of operations and into human resources, which led Christy and the kids and me back to McAllisterville, of all places, because I described McAllisterville to my superiors as Metro Baltimore. It worked. No one looked at a map. So, I mean, McAllisterville is kind of close to Baltimore, but the house prices are way lower. We moved from Connecticut to McAllisterville in October 2004. And on our first Sunday here, we visited Good News Lutheran Brethren Church. Honestly, it wasn't a great experience. No offense to those of you who were around at that time. But here's the thing. Many of the people that day were really gracious to us, and we really appreciated Pastor Ness's faithfulness to the word. So on the second Sunday, instead of church shopping, we just came back. We didn't even really know why, but God knew. After a few weeks, we dove in and participated in all that we could and became part of the Good News family. Now, fast forward a little over a year to January of 2006, when I was now 34 years old, I received a phone call on the 10th of January, my wife's 36th birthday. And this call changed what I believe to be the course of my life, and it changed it painfully. My supervisor, who officed out of Ann Arbor, Michigan, someone I had known well for 15 years, called me to ask me to meet her the next morning. Not here in McAllisterville, not there in Ann Arbor, but 2 hours west of her, of here. I was in human resources, and I was no fool, and I blurted out, "Are you firing me?" And she burst into tears and said that she wasn't allowed to tell me anything before that meeting the next day, and then proceeded to tell me anyway. Every single person in my position was being eliminated, and our work was being moved to people in a parallel position. She told me that my name, and only mine, was in front of our legal department for a possible last-minute stay of execution. And that had everything to do with the not-so-great performance of the person who would replace me. We hung up, and I waited to find out what would happen. And in those moments, I was devastated. I had been loyal to the degree of making sacrifices that I never should have made. My personal identity was tied up in career advancement, and now I had no idea what I was going to do to provide for my family as a retailer, an HR manager in the Metro Baltimore area of McAllisterville. A few hours later, I received a phone call in which I was told that my position had been spared, but I would be working with all new people. It was good news, but I never really recovered. And any remaining career ambition hit a wall at high speed and died there instantly. And thank God. I didn't understand it, but God knew. Well, I happen to love music, and at times, I dive deep into an artist or a genre for a while until I know it inside out. And back in those days of January of 2006, I was deep diving into black male gospel quartet singing. If you know the Blind Boys of Alabama, you have an idea what I was listening to, that sort of thing. And one of the great and historic groups of that genre was called the Dixie Hummingbirds, who in that year had just celebrated their 70th year of performing together. I loved those old guys, and somehow stumbled upon the fact that they were going to perform at Kutztown University on April 6th of that year. At some point prior to this, I had introduced Pastor Nessa to the Dixie Hummingbirds, and he loved them as well. So I asked him to join me on this trip to Kutztown. And we enjoyed the concert, and that night on the drive home, Pastor Nessa asked me a question that I never expected, nor had even considered in any way prior to that moment. And the question was this: would you consider serving in the role of elder at Good News? I was 34 years old, and being the firstborn of six, I had previously thought of myself as being older than I was, but elder? And not just the age, but the responsibility of shepherding the sheep of Good News. Pastor Nessa went on to say that he and the elders of Good News, who were at that time Dennis Kantz and Dave Phelan, saw both the character qualities in me called for by the Word of God, and a spiritual giftedness that suited the role and would benefit the church. I remember thinking, and you guys know me, I think out loud, so I probably said this thought out loud to Pastor Nessa, "I'm not sure you know me as well as you think you do." For that matter, I didn't even know what to think about me. But God knew. And so I was installed at the recommendation of the elders, and upon the call and election of the congregation as elder. And in December of 2010, I was called to pastor Good News, but that's a long story for another day. Suffice it to say that in January of 2006, God saw fit to end my self-promotion. I didn't know why, but God knew. And in January of 2011, 5 years older and wiser, I finally was really laid off by boarders, released from their service at the exact same moment that God, through the call of good news, had called me into the pastoral ministry. I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." I didn't know, but God knew. And not only in the moment, but from the very foundation of the world. And so it is true today for the four men that the elder board recommend to you, the congregation, as new elders: Josh McMillan, Guy Rozell, Lonnie Snyder, and Darren Swartz. And I believe the call of Jeremiah is illustrative. Verses 4 and 5 from that first chapter: "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Before Jeremiah was born, in fact, even before he had been conceived, God has chosen him to be a prophet. Long before Jeremiah knew or even could know, God knew. God knew him. And the idea this carries is that God chose him and God predestined him. Before Jeremiah was born, God sanctified him, which carries the idea of setting Jeremiah apart for God's purposes. And before Jeremiah was born, he was ordained by God, consecrated to fulfill a specific purpose of God. Jeremiah was to be God's prophet, to speak God's words to the people. And to what end? Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12. "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." God gives apostles. God gives prophets. God gives evangelists. God gives pastors and teachers in order to equip the saints for the work of ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, Jeremiah's particular task was a prophetic one. The task of the four men set before you today is a pastoral one, which is to say a shepherding one, to care for God's flock at Good News with and by God's word. In our church's understanding of the role of elder, every single elder is a ruling elder who leads by God's word. And then some of those elders are teaching elders, those who are specifically commissioned to publicly proclaim God's word. But whether ruling or teaching, all is for the equipping and the edifying of God's saints. And while the term elder suggests age, age does not an elder make. God an elder makes. Listen to Jeremiah's initial response to God's call, which you've already heard this morning. Jeremiah 1:6, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." In the King James translation, Jeremiah's response is even more specific. He says, "I am a child." And not just in knowledge and understanding. It's actually believed that Jeremiah was under the age of 20 at his call. And in saying, "I cannot speak," he's not saying that he doesn't know what to say or how to say it, so much as he is saying, "It's not really my place to say. I don't have the right to speak in such a way to those who are older than I am." But God himself is not interested in this line of reasoning. Verse 7, "But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak." Why isn't God interested in Jeremiah's reasoning that he cannot speak due to his youthfulness? Because it's not so much a reasoned argument as it is a rationalized excuse to not serve as God has called him to serve. Jeremiah is not speaking this way out of humility. He is speaking this way out of doubt. He is speaking this way even out of fear. And all four men before you today who have been in a process of training with the current elder board for 18 months have, over those 18 months, expressed to a man their doubts about serving as elders to the elder board, which ironically makes them far more desirable as candidates than those who would not express their doubts. Why? Consider whom we serve and what it means to serve him. The Apostle James says in chapter 3, verse 1, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." In other words, we as a congregation should only extend this call soberly, and these men should only receive this call soberly. But neither youthfulness nor a stricter judgment excuse the man who has been called. Jeremiah 1, verses 7 and 8, "But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord.'" God equips those he sends. It is God's word, not ours, which we speak. And he doesn't equip and then send the servant on his merry way. Rather, God equips his servant and then saddles up to travel with him. God goes with his servant and will always be there to deliver him. This doesn't mean that there won't be trouble. In fact, there will be far more trouble for the one called into the office of the ministry than for the one who isn't. Jeremiah himself faced persecution. He faced imprisonment, insults, and even deportation. But God never left his side. Let's talk about age. Why? Because not only can a man use it as an excuse to not serve when called, so a congregation can use it as an excuse to not extend God's call. It's a funny thing, but as we age, so does the upper age of those we consider to be young. I was married for 2.5 years already at my daughter's current age, but she's just a baby to me. I was an elder at Good News at 34 years old. I'm going to be 54 in July. Dennis was 39 years old when he was called to be an elder here at Good News 23 years ago. Life comes at you fast. The four men before you are younger than Dennis, younger than Klaus, younger than me, and actually I learned this morning they're younger than Pastor Mark too. Josh is 35, Guy is 36, Darren is 37. And Lonnie, so Lonnie and I graduated together across the road here at East Juniata High School, and as he likes to remind me regularly, even he is younger than I am. So I'm speaking now to the four men who are called. I want you to listen to what Paul has to say to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And so to the congregation, don't despise the youth of those who live and serve as examples to you. Rather, 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." It is God who knew these men before they were even formed in the womb. It is God who sanctifies them. It is God who ordains them. It is God who commands them. It is God who is with them. It is God who delivers them. It is God who gives them his word. Verses 9 and 10. "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. God's word is perfect. God's word is true, and this is always regardless of the imperfections of its vessel. This word is living and active. It is like a fire. It is like a hammer that breaks rocks into pieces. It is not the man that roots out and pulls down or destroys and throws down or builds and plants. It is God's word in the mouth of the man. It is not man's word, but God's word that speaks. And the voice of God's law condemns sinners. It roots out their sin. And the voice of God's gospel restores them and builds them up. Josh, Guy, Darren, Lonnie, God knew you and God knows you. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Men, prepare yourselves. Or as the King James expresses it, gird up your loins. And the picture here is of a man wearing a longish gown. And in order to move, to run, to speak, to work, to battle, he has to take that garment and tuck it up into the girdle in order that he not be tripped up in his work. Gird up your loins so that you will not be tripped up in your work of equipping and edifying, of shepherding with the word. You will face critics. Worse than that, you will face spiritual attack, even as some of you already have during this 18-month season of discernment and training. But God says to you, do not be dismayed. Do not tremble with fear before the people. Do not tremble in self-doubt, but rather place your fear instead in God. Whatever strength you have, do not rely upon it, for it is nothing as compared to His. But He will make you a fortified city. He will make you an iron pillar. He will make you bronze walls. The idea here in all these phrases is that you'll be impervious to attack. Not just temporal attack, but also spiritual attack. Your enemy may fight, but your enemy will not prevail because God is on your side. Now, today's sermon is a unique one. And while I've spoken today both to encourage the congregation to extend a call that the elders recommend to these four men, and I've spoken today to encourage these four men for the task at hand, I also speak to all of you as it regards you. Very few are called to be elders and pastors. Far fewer are called to be prophets like Jeremiah. And yet every believer is called by God into God's service. And God has chosen each and every one of you carefully. And before the foundation of the world, He knew you and He gifted you according to His will for you and for the use of your gifts. And this call that He extends to you is not an invitation to join Him on His mission so much as it is a draft notice. Remember the prophet Jonah. Jonah tried to draft dodge. It didn't work out that well. You might be able to draft dodge the American government, but you can't draft dodge God's call on your life. In Christ, you are a soldier in God's army, and He has personally equipped you for the task. In yourself, you may not be effectual, but your call is. Romans 8:29-30. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. And there's this window of time between justification and glorification. And in that window of time, there's just one more thing we need to add to this list. And we find it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. None of you know what God has in store for you. But God knew, and God knew from the foundation of the world. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 28. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles and gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. God knew you. God called you. God prepared you. God gifted you for service in the body of Christ and service to the body of Christ. He prepared the very good works that you would do beforehand, that you should walk in them. So step out in faith and just keep stepping. Amen.